advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Oh, fuck. Oh, man.
What'd you do?
Nothing. Oh.
God damn. Drink, what? Drink that, Dave. Come on.
Getting all hyped up over there. Have another drink.
That shit will slap you in your mouth, dude. That shit is fucking hot.
Oof. I'm working on it.
Did you have another drink?
It's the Four Roses.
Four Roses barrel strength, it says. I just wasn't expecting it. My chest is still on fire.
It has the strength of a barrel.
Maybe I fell asleep with hot sauce in my esophagus or something. I don't know.
Fucking.
Yeah, let me try it.
61%.
It's fucking hot, dude. I mean, the flavor's not bad, but it was a fucking hot.
No, it's not bad.
Is it just me?
No, it's good.
Brad just eating Diet Red Bull.
No, it's hot.
It's not diet. It's sugar-free. Sir.
I decided I'm never drinking sugar-free anything again.
Why?
A couple nights ago, my wife wanted like a whiskey Coke, and I was like, okay, I'll go buy some Coke Zero. That way, if I break off
regular
my diet.
Coke.
Well, that's the same thing you're doing right there with the sugar-free fucking Red Bull.
No, I like the taste of that. I'm not doing it for a diet.
No, I know, but the problem is that it is sugar-free, and it's what it does to you. It's like super fucking bad for you.
I don't care. So it's everything else.
Yeah. It causes insulin resistance because your mouth tastes the sweet and puts a bunch of insulin out, and then it goes nowhere because there was no sugar. But in your case,
I got sugar in
you're
me.
Chasing it with the Mountain Dew.
I'm sweet enough already, Turkish.
That's
it's,
right.
It's funny, though, because, yeah, you are doing it for the flavor because obviously you're having a Mountain Dew right behind it.
I have a Mountain Dew. I'm going to chase the sugar-free Red Bull with a Mountain Dew. That's what you have to do if you drink sugar-free items.
You might have found
to chase it with the Mountain Dew.
That might be the loophole, actually.
Yeah, that's the
you
health.
You had real sugar.
That's the health.
Because the problem is normally diet, people drink a bunch of diet soda and it fucks them up. They end up being diabetic.
I don't drink
drinking diet soda.
That's what, see, and I was trying to tell my wife, she got on the, you know, her dad had the heart attack thing and like they're all scared now.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, well, I'm going to do, like he's on like a keto diet pretty much,
right.
You know, no low carb or really low carb and can only have red meat twice a month, you know.
Didn't you just say one of the other relatives just lost a bunch of weight though and then died, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah. And we haven't even found out why yet. But she had a heart issue and then she died a week later or 2 weeks later. But, so she's, and I kept telling her, she's like, well, I'm going to, this right here, I said, you can't have anything sweet. I was like, you can't even have the artificial sweeteners.
Right.
I was like, because it
elicits
makes that
the same response.
Yeah. It elicits, you might as well, if you're going to eat something sweet, just have regular sugar, less of
it.
Yeah.
Have a smaller amount of grams of regular sugar. And it's actually better for you. And she got mad at me.
Well,
I can't say anything.
I got like for 3 days hooked because I bought, Coke Zero Cherry. And that shit is fucking amazing. It doesn't taste like diet anything.
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh fuck, this shit's good. And it won't fuck up my keto. And I was like, what am I talking about? I'm like, Mr. Preach, don't drink diet soda. I'm drinking diet soda.
Yeah.
And like 3 nights in a row, I fucking did it. And I was like, it's over. Stop fucking doing that. And I got rid of it. So no more. But then I start watching YouTube videos. That'll scare you out of diet soda real fucking quick.
Well, there's really YouTube videos that'll scare you out of chicken nuggets too.
Yeah.
People still eat them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just, it's, you know, I don't know. You can't be, everything's bad for you.
Yeah.
Unless you're raising it yourself or going out and hunting it and it's wild. It's probably bad for you.
My buddy invited me over for dinner and like it was over a messenger and I was like, fuck, it's like going to be awkward. I was like, he's like, you want to go out to the bar? And I was like, nah, I don't want to go out. He's like, you want to go to imbibe? I was like, nah, man, I really don't do that kind of shit. Like it has to be on a Friday because I got to study on Saturday and I do research on Sunday and record. I can't. Friday's my day. That'd be it.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, well, how about you come over for dinner? You having dietary restrictions? And I was like, I should just not say anything. He's going to try to cater to it. And then I was trying to explain to him. I was like, I'm not eating this, but don't worry about it. You know what I mean? And he's like, well, I got this, I got beers and I got this, and we're going to have enchiladas. I was like,
I can't have that.
And then he's like, I was like, dude, here, it doesn't matter. My family will have it. I'll be there, bro. I'll be there. Okay. I'm coming to dinner. We're going to hang out. Don't worry about the food. Just make whatever you're making. And then I got there and it was amazing, dude. He has like, I think his mother-in-law is half Filipino, half Mexican. Mm-hmm. And they made the most amazing fucking, I just did my Chef Ramsay, the most amazing chicken enchiladas, rice and beans. I mean, and the thing is, it wasn't even like, hey, dinner's ready, go grab some.
Yeah.
They plated it and like garnished it and shit and set it on the table in front of you. And it was like, I took pictures because it was that crazy. It looked so good. I killed it. I ate a fucking ton of enchiladas. I ate fucking chips. I ate rice. I ate beans. Mm-hmm. I lost a half a pound.
Yeah.
I was like, fucking sweet. Yeah. Cause I was
once
like,
you
so
get
scary.
Your body rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just does what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm down 30.5 pounds.
I can't stand it when people plate food for me.
No, I didn't mind it, man.
No, like, I hate it.
It was everything I was going to eat anyway.
I'm uncomfortable. Like if I'm at a restaurant, it's fine. If I'm at anyone's house, if I'm at my house, like if someone fixes me a plate and hands it to me, it is an incredibly uncomfortable, awkward moment.
Because of the portion control, or you feel like they touch your food?
No, it's not because they touch my food. It's not the portion control. I think it's because I was a cook for years. I'm used to cooking. Yeah. I plate the food. Like it just, I don't know. It feels, it always
it's,
feels like
it's
I'm
disrespectful.
It feels like I'm disrespecting them, even though they're offering it and they're doing it. Like it feels
like they're waiting on you.
Right. And it does not feel, I'm uncomfortable accepting it. I should have plated my own food so that you didn't have to. It makes me irrationally uncomfortable.
I had this buddy, dude, Steven Ragsdale. I worked at Best Buy for years and this guy, my buddy,
Steven Ragdoll?
Ragsdale. Steven Ragsdale.
Ragdoll.
Steven Rasnostril.
He had a... yes, raspberry.
Steven Raspberry Schnuzel?
Yeah, Rasnostril.
Rasputin. He had a thing where he didn't want anyone to touch his food. And we would go through these discussions where it was like, if someone touched his food beyond the necessity of preparing it, he wouldn't eat it. So like, if you're at Quiznos, it's like, what's up? Like Quiznos or Subway, man, their fucking hands all over your shit. Yeah. Chipotle, their hands are all over. He's like, that's necessary. And so I was like, what if they look you in the eye right at the end when they roll the burrito
sandwich
and they just touch it and look at you? He's like, I fucking make it over. I swear to God. And so like he would be in the break room at like Best Buy and he'd be like, hey bro, I'm walking out here. Swear to God, man, don't let anyone touch my fucking food. He had like this morbid fear that someone was going to touch his food. And if you even joked about it,
he would
throw the shit away.
Yeah.
I was like,
that's
are you
OCD.
I was like, I didn't
that's
touch
just
it.
OCD.
I swear to God, I was kidding.
Classic.
I didn't touch it. I didn't touch it. Throw it away.
Dude, Phil touched your food. Are you going to throw it away? I'll take it.
Yeah, you can do that. That's weird. People are weird about food.
It's OCD.
Man.
People are weird about whiskey and opening songs.
A little bit.
Shut your mouth. You talk to me. Drinking a Red Stripe today. What's can you hand me that folded paper, Dave? It's got a name. That's the guy that gave us the Red Stripe. It's been sitting in the fridge. The guys wouldn't drink it, so I said, fuck it.
No, I don't drink beer.
Sebastian Brown sent us Red Stripes.
Appropriate.
Saying, thank you. I don't know why you picked Red Stripe or why there was two when there's three of us. Mm-hmm. Or why you spent $30.37 shipping us two bottles of Red Stripe that are $6 at the store. But thank you because it's a gesture.
I don't know if people know we can get things here.
Yeah.
Like our city, like if you, I guess like people might think it's a small city. It's not.
No, it's not a small
city. But it's cool. It's like you bought us a beer. It's that weird thing.
No,
where
it's
like,
totally cool.
Your buddy's going to help repair
you
your engine.
A bunch of money.
Like your buddy's going to help you work on the car, like Steve or something. And it's going to take fucking 5 hours and busted knuckles.
Yeah.
And he won't accept money, but you give him a 12 pack of beer and you're good.
Yeah.
Even though a 12 pack of beer costs like fucking $10. You know what I mean? Depending on the beer. So
this two bottles of beer cost $60.
A gesture.
But
No, it was $30 for two bottles.
Yeah. That's shipping.
No, that's what I'm saying. Total shipped.
Oh, total.
These bottles, $30.47.
Too much.
My grandma went to Jamaica on vacation one time, and my souvenir she brought me back was a bottle of Red Stripe. Two bottles of Red Stripe, Which is, maybe that's why. Maybe he heard that.
Yeah, maybe he lives right near the beach.
You know, man.
Right near the beach.
Man.
Pretty good, though.
Yeah. Shaba.
No, I like Red Stripe.
I imagine when I'm done with this, it's going to be a shit show, though.
Yeah. I just seldom drink beer, and especially when it's fucking hot out.
That's when you drink beer.
No.
What do you mean?
Makes me all fuck it. Ugh.
When it's hot out, that's when you do it.
No.
I'll drink a beer
in the winter, but not in the summer.
When I barbecue, I just want fucking Corona for no goddamn reason. I never buy it because I would drink it, but I want a Corona when I'm barbecuing. I don't know why.
I was thinking about that.
Summer thing.
I like cereal in the summer.
That's bad.
Like for whatever reason, I crave milk. And I think I talked about that before. I crave milk. Like seriously, like if you go train or go run, or work
so
all day.
That's
like
gross.
I work outside all day hard. I'm sweating all day and I come home and I want cereal or milk.
I feel like in the heat,
cold,
that's going to curdle in your stomach.
Milk.
It's just going to like hit acid in your stomach and it's hot and you're going to curdle.
Doesn't matter once it's inside of you. That's what she said.
That's what she said.
But in the winter,
you curdle
I like
of
ice cream. Like I don't like ice cream as much in the summer.
Right.
But in the winter, when it's cold, I like ice cream. So I don't know It's very weird.
I will admit that in the summer,
me and the milk, me and the dairy have weird dynamic.
I would enjoy a Mike's Hard Lemonade in the summer.
That's it's too much sugar. Those are fucking gross.
I can't, it's like, weird. I've had drinks. Like, I have
a drink of one of those, or like, I could drink one probably, but I wouldn't prefer it. It's too sweet, dude.
Yeah, I can't drink.
Like those dad's root beers or whatever. They're like,
no, I can't do that.
Those things, it's too much, dude. You just can't have that.
They're too sweet.
Like, yeah, you're gonna drink a six pack of that shit. Ugh.
No, there's no way.
Yeah. I remember being like at like company barbecues for my dad's work and shit when I was little. And just fucking grabbing Pepsi after Pepsi after Pepsi. I don't know how the fuck I did that. Now I get sick thinking about that.
I'd rather have like a Pepsi over a Mike's Hard Lemonade though. Like if you're going to drink something sweet, it has to be like a soda or something.
Yeah.
I can't do the sweet liquor. It's
like,
not.
Pepsi's harsh. I like
Jack and Coke's okay, but yeah, I can't in the summer. Nah.
I'll tell you what, Pendleton and Cherry Coke Zero is fucking amazing. I did that the other day. I was like, but I did miss the whole whiskey thing. It was like the fact that I put Coke in it. I was like, this is good. I think I should have drank the whiskey straight.
Yeah.
Tequila, I just wanted the Coke.
Tequila and Pepsi is good.
I've heard that.
Maybe tequila and cherry Pepsi is good.
Dude, cherry fucking Coke? That's my guilty pleasure.
Well, okay, so
we'll go back. I'm answering that question.
So later. I have a new one. So I like cherry Pepsi, cherry Coke, you know, but I was down in LA and you go to the Hat and they make cherry Coke. You ask them for a cherry Coke, but it's Coke and cherry Fanta mixed together.
Oh, you mentioned that.
That's the shit right there.
It probably pairs well with El Yucateco hot sauce.
It probably does.
Best hot sauce ever.
Probably does.
Yeah.
Do we have a winner or a question?
Well, since he went on that, we do have a Teco winner. Teco winner is Abe Thomas with his spicy Korean beef tacos. And honestly, I was just being lazy. Like that was the first thing. That was the post that popped up and I saw it and it looked good. And I was like, you know what?
I'm going to send someone else a package too. Whoever it was, their kid for their birthday, they asked for hot sauce. Did you see that?
Hmm.
But he didn't have any Teco. So I'm going to send them some Teco. There's a kid.
Nice.
And all he wanted for his birthday was like dinosaurs and hot sauce or some shit.
I didn't see that because it literally, that was the one that popped
the first
up.
One.
And I was like, yes, I like that one. It looks good.
I like Korean tacos.
Yeah, that was a lazy pick, but Abe Thomas, you won.
Yeah,
you
get the whoever you are that posted the picture with your kid and the hot sauce, he had like a fucking armful. He's 9 years old.
Okay.
And he just wanted like dinosaurs and hot sauce
with that.
Legos and hot sauce or some shit. Yeah.
I just bought my son a bunch of dinosaurs.
Yeah, dude, Maddox dinosaur crazy, dude.
And I got him a Power Wheels truck off of Facebook.
Nice.
Like on
someone
the cheap.
Someone paid
$300 for it, and I got it for like $40. And
battery,
it works.
The batteries are cool.
No, it's good. Yeah, everything works. And it looks like my truck because he loves riding onto my truck. So his truck looks like my truck. So.
How old is he now?
2.5.
Wow.
Have you guys played Ark Survival?
Mm-mm.
My son plays that. It's like a caveman running around. You have to like build a shelter. Mm-hmm. No. And
sounds stupid.
So he's playing it and then it stops. It's super realistic. It's pretty crazy. Like you have to build a shelter, make a fire, like every little fucking thing you can collect and put into your storage.
Yeah.
You're going to like it now. He stops and shits on the beach. And we're like,
I'm in.
Did your dude just shit? Did he just squat on the beach?
Like,
it's a real fucking.
Is he gonna go to the toilet? That's not there.
It's very photorealistic, is what I'm getting at. Though it was weird. He's like squatted and shit on the beach. He's like, watch this. Picked it up and put it in his inventory, and it says human feces is in your inventory. I was like, what do you do with that? He's like, if you like plant vegetables and stuff, you can use it for fertilizer later.
Yeah.
And so he shit on the beach, picked it up, put it in his bag, and ran off to go get fucking chop rocks.
Guess what
or whatever.
You can do with the piss? Start a fire.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. You start a fire with piss?
Yeah, passerbyer.
How? Ammonia? You reduce it down or something?
Yeah. Remember we talked about this in the Viking episode.
I don't remember anything about
that. With moss and piss.
Oh, I kind of do remember that actually. It just came back. That was deep. Yeah. It was under a stack of papers.
Mm-hmm.
Found it. Yeah. Dusted it off.
Anyway, we have a question.
Question.
You guys know Tyler Wilders?
Yes.
Brent likes to pronounce his name wrong. But
Waters, yeah.
We all know it's Waters.
The correct way. Yeah.
He loves when the moon's in a crescent shape. Because it reminds him of when Sinbad was a genie.
Mm.
I don't know how that connects, but
I was really worried because I was drinking beer while you were saying whatever you were saying. I was like, oh God, swallow this shit right now. Spit on that iPad.
So he says, do you think the earth could be flat in one dimension and round in another?
Yes.
By the general rule of a multidimensional theory, yes.
Yes.
That's why I feel like that theory is wrong. I've come to believe that I think our environment is generated around us in real time as we observe it.
Yeah, and maybe
that's my new thing.
Well, and I told you, I messaged Brent, and I just messaged Brent because I was fucking flipping out over it. Okay, my buddy's talking to me about the Mandela effect. I was like, oh, you want to fucking know something? I'm going to show you, you know, Snoop Dogg Murder Was the Case, right? And he's like, yeah. And he starts singing the first part of the song. And I was like, nope, that's not how it goes anymore. And he's like, you're fucking shitting me. And I was like, nope. I put it on. And it's the same one that I was listening to probably a month ago when I found this out. And I listened to it. And the first part of the song goes, as I look up at the sky, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't. There was pauses in it and it sounded like it didn't go with the beat. And I was like, what the fuck is happening here? I was like, this shit is fucking the Mandela effect. It changed. It's never been like this. I know the fucking
song. But
that's
the reverse though.
I've listened to it all my life. No, listen.
Yeah.
So I go to show him and I'm like, so you know that song, right? Because he was talking about the Mandela effect and all this shit. And I was like, yeah.
Right.
I was like, now check this shit out. And I fucking play it. Sure enough, it's fucking back to normal. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? You got to be shitting me, right? So I was in a different parallel.
Right.
And then I moved away from that parallel and then moved back.
Yeah.
So now that shit got me fucking really tripping out because I played it multiple times. I listened to that song. I was on a 94, 95 kick.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I was listening to that song probably maybe a couple times a week. Now I listen to it again and it's back to fucking normal.
And it's the same MP3 on
the same fucking song on the same fucking player. Didn't fucking change.
So you said it was this way when he said it was another way. Went to show him and it was...
Yeah, the original way that it was back when we were young,
right?
He said it and I was like, no, that's wrong because it changed, right? And that's what tripped me out. I was like, no, it's changed now. But then when I went to show him, it's back to fucking normal.
The old school way.
Yeah.
Right. And then now, right now, what is it?
It's the normal way.
The old school way.
No, yeah, it's the old school way. Yeah. And that was just like a couple days ago.
When did you observe it being wrong?
About a month ago.
Hmm.
And then for a couple weeks or a week or so, I listened to it, you know, a couple times.
The other way.
And it was this fucking, it was a different way.
Are you sure it's not a different verse? No. Radio cut?
No. It was the same song.
That's what I was asking. Was it the same MP3
on the same
file,
player?
On the same player.
Didn't fucking change. And now it's back to the normal fucking way.
You ever see the movie Explorers?
No,
I don't know.
River Phoenix, Ethan Hawke. They make a spaceship out of Tilton Whirl.
No.
No? Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've seen that.
Like he has a dream. He's flying through the clouds. It's a circuit board. Then he draws a circuit board, gives it to fucking River Phoenix. River Phoenix is a little scientist kid. He makes the circuit board, and it turns out it creates like this energy field that you could ride around and has no inertia. 1985.
Yeah.
Well, I was like trying to force movies on my kids and I was like, let's watch fucking Snake in the Eagle's Shadow. My daughter wasn't having it. And I was like, all right, I get to pick an 80s movie, any 80s movie though. And you're agreeing to it in lieu of Snake in the Eagle's Shadow though. As an alternate, you have to accept it. So either we're watching this shit or you watch whatever the fuck this 80s movie I pick. So we picked it last night. And then while we're watching it, I looked it up to try to figure out something. And it turns out that movie was released incompleted and they just edited it to make it finish, which doesn't matter if you haven't seen it. But to those who have seen it, the original director's cut was 3.5 hours long.
Holy Jesus.
And they like finally gave up on the dude and fucking like just said, we're just releasing this fucking thing. And they chopped it up and finished it off. And whatever you see now is the way it was. And I was like, where in a warehouse is this fucking Dances with Wolves version of this motherfucker?
Yeah.
Where there is just weirdness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it made me think about, because one of the episodes that we're going to do tonight, that there was an actor who portrayed something and got cut. And I was like, are those somewhere? Did they destroy that film? That version with that character, like the Back to the Future thing where the other guy played it? Yeah, it's just sitting in a
vault
somewhere.
The studio owns it, or the director owns it, or the actor himself.
Yeah, they didn't get rid of it.
Or somebody owns it.
So that tripped me out. Shit changes like that.
Because shit like that, if same thing with musicians, they have all this music in a catalog somewhere, just saved on in a vault somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
And then soon as they die,
it's electrical.
Yeah. Vault.
A vault.
In a Chevy vault.
That's where I put my music at.
In a parking
That's
structure.
Where I put my music at.
There's a bunch of magicians keeping their music. Because most people don't know magicians.
In a Chevy vault.
They all play music. Vault. They all have to play an instrument before they get accepted into Magic Academy.
They usually keep their pillows in there.
But they keep their secrets and their pillows inside of a Chevy vault in a parking structure.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Nobody's looking for them there.
Yeah.
That's what Paisley Park is. Yeah. The park is for parking.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay.
Wow. I want our universe. You know what's crazy? In the multiverse
that exists.
That exists. Where musical magicians keep their secret music inside of a Chevy Volt in Paisley Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Exactly.
God damn. And all your laundry comes out of the dryer folded.
Yep.
And when they die, all this music starts coming out and you're like, where the fuck were all these verses? Right. Where'd this shit come from? It was just stuff they weren't happy with.
Right.
So I'm sure people keep video footage of whoever.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, if they get big and then later on in their life, they're like, oh, they passed away. Well, here's all this footage.
Let's release
this
shit.
Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Let's make more money off of them. How evil is that?
Speaking of evil, go ahead. Someone. No?
Bob Atwood.
Yes, Bob Atwood. Yeah. Damn, this is the magic evil fucking
Skull 32. Member.
Yeah.
Skull member. No, it's not even it's not even 21 minutes yet.
Yeah.
Oh. Skull member of the month for July, Bob Atwood. Prepares his meals with a can-do attitude. I like it. I fucking like it. He likes to watch Shia LaBeouf just do it videos before he makes a meal.
Fuck yeah.
This increases the happiness in the kitchen and also balances the aggressive nature of his cooking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
he throws that salt, dude. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. He has a YouTube channel. Check it out.
Yeah, he's like an Indian version of Emeril Lagasse.
Yeah, he is.
Fucking bum. Bum.
YouTube.com/ Atwood Got Wood.
Yeah.
That's his cooking channel.
Atwood. Yeah. Atwood Got Apple Wood.
Yeah. Well, because he bounces the salt off of his crotch into the dish. Yeah. That way, Emeril can't sue him for copyright infringement.
Similar.
It's true.
Yeah. So, Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper. Jack the motherfucking Ripper. So, people like the true crime. People like the serial killers. This is as true and as serial as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
I mean, this is all speculation. It's all hype. I mean, nobody really even knows if it's the same guy.
But hookers were murdered.
Yeah.
I mean,
canoes were made.
Yeah, but there's a difference though. If you're actually making a canoe, you're not murdering them. You're hunting them. You're not wasting the bodies. You're using the bodies.
Right.
You've made a product.
I think that still constitutes murder.
You know what I want to see? I want to find out there's an Eskimo serial killer that uses every part. It's really he's really efficient. He boils down the blubber. Makes necklaces out of the toenails.
Probably does.
Gein was on his way to being the most efficient.
He was.
Lampshades, belts. He made stuff out of all of it. He was kind of like an Eskimo.
Yeah,
would use every part.
Gein was like small-time Sears Roebuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
He just had all kinds of items.
Mm-hmm.
So
get anything from his catalog.
So Jack the Ripper, allegedly from 7th of August to the 10th of September of 1888, Jack the Ripper terrorized the Whitechapel district in London's East End. They sort of call it the canonical five, like the five that almost all investigators believe Jack the Ripper did kill. There are five definitely, and there might be as many as 12.
Actually,
copycats.
I read yesterday there's going to be a sequel to Harold and Kumar Go to Whitechapel. It's going to be, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a thriller, though. It's not like what you expect.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Less comedy, more scary.
They all took place within a mile of each other. The five murders.
The burgers are made out of womb.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah.
Yeah. They take a hooker canoe, a hook canoe across the ocean.
Yeah.
Across the Atlantic.
Yeah.
The waitress comes up and says, "Do you have womb for dessert?"
Yeah. Actually, she says, "Hey baby, do you have womb for dessert?"
Oh man. Oh, the red stripes kicking in. It seemed a wild ride of crayons and
God.
Top ramen pots.
And then there, you ask around, they know a placenta in town that says womb burgers.
You guys know a good placenta in town? I think I still have womb for dessert.
Jesus Christ.
Hey man, we're just doing our job. You're the fact guy. Okay.
Oh God.
Here comes the train.
Yeah, we're just throwing shit at you. You gotta see what sticks.
So
like a placenta on a wall.
That's how you know when spaghetti's ready, when it's all dante.
The
spaghetti's done when the placenta sticks on the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fat lady leans.
Yes. So
sometimes it takes a while.
There's a ton of investigations that have been done over the years. No one is obviously sure who Jack the Ripper is. There's conspiracy theories that go from the mundane to the ludicrous to the very believable,
right?
Different ideas that are out there. I know we're never going to cover all of them in this episode because I had remembered seeing a couple years ago, and when I was doing the research, I didn't run into those, and I didn't even think about them until this morning. And
eight,
yeah, they're so fucking.
We did H.H. Holmes,
right?
And H.H. Holmes was suspected of being Jack the Ripper.
There's doctors, there's butchers,
but still nobody knows.
Candlestick makers,
yeah.
So the backdrop of where this happened and the reason that it's sketchy to say, yes, one person did all these killings is because in the late 1800s in London's East End, it was basically the ultimate shithole. Like you did not, it was a horrible fucking neighborhood.
Yeah. There's an influx of fucking people. There was like 4 million people living in that area. That's fucking crazy.
There was a ton of people fleeing Russia. A bunch of Jews that were fleeing Europe, a bunch of Russian Jews, a bunch of Russians that were like, that was when all of the czarist fucking revolution shit was starting to warm up and everybody was fleeing. The Irish were being persecuted and fleeing and moving there. So it was just a huge immigrant population, like no employment opportunities. Prostitution ran rampant, huge crime rates.
This is when they threw their shit out onto the street.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There were potatoes and dreidels and hookers and it was a disaster.
Prostitution was considered against the law if it caused a public disturbance.
It was really like one of the only ways for women to make money.
Right.
Like they had to kind of resort to that.
And I'm not sure what it would take to be a hooker to the point that it caused a public disturbance.
Oh.
I mean, there's a lot of competition. Yeah, you have to really fucking step up your game. Yeah. You know?
Have you seen
a fucking strobe light pussy on the corner?
Yeah. Like, have you seen the China pants?
Yeah. Damn, look at Renee, disco pussy on the corner over there. Fucking
staying alive.
She just has lanterns and shit spinning around, blowing fire.
Staying alive, governor.
Yeah.
So one thing that I read was that the London
disco pussy.
London Metropolitan Police estimated that there were 62 brothels in 1888 just in that area.
Damn.
And there were 1,200 prostitutes in Whitechapel in one neighborhood. It's not like there were 1,200 in London. There were 1,200 in this fucking neighborhood.
Yeah, there were 7 brothels that weren't really counted. They were smaller, so it made 69.
Yeah, I think that had to be the case. Yeah. Well, the thing is, to be honest, most of the hookers were just like having sex in alleys.
Yeah.
So like
the
fact that there were 62 brothels isn't shit because they were mostly fucking doing it on patches of rotted cabbage, you know, on the back of
that would be smelly.
Yeah.
Besides her, rotten cabbage fucking stinks.
Yes, it does. And not rotten cabbage kind of stinks.
That's true.
So anyway, within the time frame that they think Jack the Ripper was active, there were 11 separate murders. I read another one that said 12, so I don't know if it was 11 or 12, but somewhere in
kind of dissimilar vicinity. Lack of motive, some weirdness that doesn't quite tie them together.
So the 5 that are considered canonical are Mary Ann Nichols, who was found on August 31st, Annie Chapman, September 8th, Elizabeth Stride, September 30th, Catherine Eddowes, September 30th, and Mary Jane Kelly, November 9th. Those are the 5 that most investigators think he definitely, or she, they don't even know the gender, but they assume it was a male. Most of them
might be a Jill the Ripper. There's theories of that. Yeah.
In each instance,
been a prostitute taking out competition.
They could have been. In each instance here, they were killed by a very quick throat slash, a very quick and efficient throat slash, and the bodies were mutilated after the murder very efficiently. Yeah. Like it wasn't like someone just hacking away with a fucking butcher knife. It was like, precise incisions. They knew where to go to get specific organs. So all the investigators, even today, when they look at the death reports and the forensics, the assumption is that the person had to be either in the medical profession, whether a doctor, a mortician, a butcher, a physician's assistant, a nurse, a midwife. They had to have advanced knowledge of human anatomy and the tools to pull it off.
Right.
Unlike a lot of fucked up serial killer stuff, none of the mutilation happened beforehand. The deaths were apparently all remarkably quick, just slit the throat, let him die, and all the fucked up shit happened afterwards. Damn. There was no evidence of sex with the corpses or anything. It wasn't me. Right, exactly.
Brad's off the
hook. Hey, what's the fucking Tales from the Ghetto? What, you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Oh my God, I gotta watch that shit again.
Fuck, that was so awful.
That it's awful, but it's
like Tales from the Crypt, but it's a gangster skeleton or something.
Fucking, yeah. It is absolutely.
He has a 40 in jewelry and shit.
No, it's different stories.
Yeah,
it's different stories, and
there wasn't any kind of a crypt keeper, was there?
There was the guy. It was the black dude, but he kind of had a fro. He's a popular guy. Like, fuck, I'll look it up, man.
For some reason, I want to say it was the guy that played Candyman.
No, I think that guy might have been in Candyman.
One of the stories.
Remember Knockin' Boots? Remember that?
Yeah. Candyman, yeah, Knockin' Boots. Knockin' Boots. Yeah.
I can remember the whole intro, like the whole fucking. You remember? Did you have the CD?
No.
It started out with a game show. It's all Rad, Brad, Chad, and had this whole fucking game show skit in the beginning of the CD. That was like the first fucking track was this whole thing. Like, he hails from Salt Lake City, Utah. You don't remember that?
No,
Tales,
I never had the CD.
Oh, you didn't have a CD. Tales from the Hood.
Tales from the Hood.
Clarence right. Williams III, I think, is.
Oh, I was thinking of his dad.
Yeah.
The second. That's why I got confused. Huge fan of his work. Hanging out in the corner, playing dice. It's really popular.
This guy, you know that guy.
Oh, yeah. Prince's dad.
Oh, yeah. I recognize him.
Yeah. Is it Prince's dad?
It's Prince's dad from Purple Rain. Not really, but.
Oh, yeah.
He plays Prince's dad?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's been in a ton of stuff. But yeah, it's Tales from the Hood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I got to watch that again.
For some reason, I want to say Snoop Dogg was in it.
No,
I don't think he was, but for some reason it's in my head that he was. Maybe I'm just thinking of Soul
Joe
Plane.
Torre, DeAndre Bonds, Samuel Monroe. I mean, a lot of top,
yeah, all the actors. Like top, top actors.
The list
Anthony,
of Oscar
Anthony
winners.
Griffith, Black Andy's brother,
right?
Their whistling is way more rhythmic. Yeah, in that show.
Dwayne Whitaker, Forrest Whitaker.
His other eye's fucked up.
Yeah, he's the opposite.
Yeah. They're really bad.
Actually,
at potato sack races.
Yeah, actually, he's colorblind. This one's white. This is Dwayne Whitaker.
When they do the potato sack races,
oh, I'm sorry, it's Dwayne Whitaker.
Oh,
different. Yeah.
So the murders in White Chapel.
Oh,
so the first one, Emma Smith. The details are, she was robbed. I take that back. She was sexually assaulted. Oh no, this is, I take this back. These are two.
Can you start over?
I'm going to start
over.
These two are two that a lot of people think were Jack the Ripper, but, a lot of experts recently, cause they used to say that there were seven, but these two, there was one named Emma Smith. She was sexually assaulted and robbed, which didn't happen with any.
That's
of
the one they
victims.
Stuck the thing inside of her vagina and she died
actually,
later.
They stuck a blunt object into her vagina and she died a day later. And the press said that it was Jack the Ripper once Jack the Ripper ganged up or built up. But it turns out it wasn't a throat slashing. And all the witnesses said that it was done by three people, like three adults and a teenager were who did it.
So this is the problem too. Back in this time frame, like there was no
forensics really.
Yeah, there was no forensics and there wasn't like they probably didn't believe people just based on their stature and who they were or they wanted to go after whoever.
The cop was just like a guy willing to do the job. Like I was like, they kept saying like, oh, they've been dead 30 minutes. It's like, how the fuck do they know the sniff test?
Right.
What are they doing? Right. Like sticking their finger in the blood and seeing if it's like grandma's gravy? Like they're like, oh, it's pretty tacky. Probably about 30 minutes.
Is this
based
all done?
Fucking what? Yeah. Holding their finger in the wind. Fucking taste test. How the fuck do they know?
But there was another one named Martha Tabram who was killed within that time frame, but she was stabbed 39 times.
God damn.
And nothing was removed, so they don't think that was Jack the Ripper either.
My OCD would fuck me up. I'd have to do 40. I can't stop on 39. Yeah.
But the canonical five, the woman named Nichols, her body was discovered at 3:40 a.m. Friday, August 31st. Her throat was severed by two cuts. The lower part of her abdomen was ripped open by a deep, jagged wound, and several incisions on the abdomen were caused by the same knife, and various parts were missing.
Right.
Chapman's body was discovered at 6 a.m. on Saturday.
That Nichols September one, 8th. Though, they think that maybe that fucking cross guy might have been Jack the Ripper.
Cross guy.
So the person that found Nichols was Charles Cross. Claimed or whatever. And there was another guy that came onto the scene named Robert Paul, also arrived. They like checked her body and they're like, she's
dead.
His
name was Robert Paulson.
Robert Paulson. And yeah. We call him Bob.
Hey, yeah, I said that I wanted to make the joke, but I'm the one that read the line. I was hoping you were going to read that guy's name and I could make the Robert Paulson joke, but since I'm reading it, there you go. So Charles Cross gets like approached by police or something and tells them that, oh, there's a body over there, but there's already a police officer or some shit. And later they fucking were like, oh, that was him. Like he was too close to the body and all this weird circumstantial things of like where he said he was walking from didn't work.
I saw something about the fact that he might have been interviewed by the police.
And they questioned him. He gave an address that turns out like didn't exist or was incorrect. It was false. And something to do with like him and the Robert Paul guy should have seen each other when they approached and he, like that. That's why he
that
was
guy,
there.
That guy could have been doing something else shady though. Yeah. That's not
true.
Necessarily
true.
That he killed the woman.
He was with one of the 1600 hookers and his wife was going to find out.
Yeah.
So he just made up some story. That's true.
So Chapman's body is found 6 a.m. Saturday, the 8th of September. Her throat severed by two cuts. Abdomen was slashed open. The uterus had been removed. And one of the eyewitnesses at the trial, the inquest, said that they saw Chapman at about 5:30 a.m., with a dark-haired man of, quote, shabby genteel appearance.
I figured this one out. Did you see
she was a hooker, though.
Did you see the guy that found her?
No.
It was Jonathan Davis. He was the lead singer of Korn.
I didn't know that.
He's definitely suspect. I didn't think he can't be trusted, yeah.
He time travels?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
he's
found
a fucking vampire,
hair.
For sure. Look at his hair.
Found a dreadlock hair.
Yeah.
Straight out of Twilight.
Stride was killed early morning, Sunday, the 30th of September. Her body was discovered at 1 a.m., throat to the, this one was one cut that severed the main artery on the left side of the neck. This one wasn't mutilated afterwards.
They think that possibly got interrupted.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So either they think it wasn't Jack the Ripper or that Jack the Ripper got interrupted and didn't get to do it because it's also earlier than the other murders.
And then they find a body like blocks away from this murder the same night that happened 45 minutes after, I believe, right?
Yeah. And that was Edo's.
Right.
Very close, 45 minutes after Stride's body was found.
And then they find like the only clue they ever found, right? Like they find a piece of Catherine Edo's apron, like with blood on it in a doorway, like headed back towards the first murder,
right?
Which they kind of used to say like he must have been super comfortable with the area, maybe he lives in the area,
right?
That he felt confident enough to walk back to where he knows that if he did both murders there's clearly another body, there's going to be a lot of police. And the apron's found with a chalk note on the sidewalk that supposedly has some weird Masonic fucking thing,
right?
So it says the Jews are the men that will not be blamed for nothing. That's such weird wording.
And Jews is spelled very strange.
It's spelled
J-U-W-E-S, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And apparently it has to do with like three Masons or something.
Whose last name started with J-U and they weren't necessarily Jewish. Yeah.
But the way it was worded is like, is he just fucking illiterate?
But the Jews haven't been blamed for anything.
That's true.
Yeah.
But so, and there's also, but some letters start to come out as well that are allegedly from Jack the Ripper. But then the final of the murders was Kelly, and she was mutilated and disemboweled. And she is the only one that was killed in a room.
And not only disemboweled, but almost wholly skinned.
Yes.
Like her skin was removed from her body to the point that when the person found the body said they thought the devil himself had done it because it was so fucking horrifying.
The throat was severed all the way down to the spine.
And that one has some merit behind it as far as the suspect tied to that case. I don't know if you saw that, but like there's a boyfriend involved in this shit that makes that a fairly strong case is presented where I feel like Mary Kelly's boyfriend is the most convincing suspect, I think, based off of the motive and the story surrounding her death. So I don't know.
For just her death or for all the deaths?
Well, for all the deaths, you'll get to him. I can't remember his name right now. It's in my notes and it'll jump back to it. But one of the guys, I can't think of his name right now, but one of the suspects, Joseph Barrett, maybe? No.
We'll get there.
No, we'll get there. One of the suspects was actually dating her.
Okay.
They broke up 10 days prior. And like a fight about her being a prostitute.
Wow.
And so there's
like
some
you
weird,
do.
Yeah, there's some weird motive. Like, you know? I can't stand you fucking other dudes, man.
But so during these murders, letters came out. I recommend Googling the letters because they're kind of creepy and they're pretty like, I don't know, they're pretty cool artifacts.
Some of them have been disproven, but yeah, the
Dear Boss letter, the Saucy Jackie letter, and the From Hell letter. They actually, some people don't think the From Hell letter was written by the same person as the Dear Boss and the Saucy Jackie letter because the handwriting doesn't line up quite enough. But they're all, those are the names of the main letters, and they're kind of cool to look at. But, and they basically, I mean, I didn't actually transcribe them into my notes, but they were,
well, the Dear Boss letter comes out right after Annie Chapman's found. I think she's found September 8th. On September 27th, a letter's received by like the local paper. And it's referred to as the Dear Boss letter. It's basically just taunting authorities,
right.
Saying that he put some of her red, he called blood something weird, like the red good stuff or something. Yeah. He said, I put the red good stuff in a jar and I was going to write the letter with it.
But it coagulated.
Yeah. And turned into gravy or something gross. And
so I had to use red ink, which I'll have to do.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
There's a lot of, yeah.
Threw in an LOL, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. I thought about that. I was like, this guy's fucking texting over here. He's got a little fucking slang. And then he basically promises the police that he's going to cut off the ears of the next victim and mail them to him. So, which would be kind of telling if that event occurred next, but I think it doesn't, because the next murder is the one that we think got interrupted. I think it was the double murder.
Right.
And he basically says, then another letter comes out.
But he did mail the kidney from the next murder.
Well, that's the From Hell.
Right.
That contains a partial kidney in a box with a letter. Mm-hmm. And that I read, that one's a scary fucking letter.
Mm-hmm.
But it was proven that that was a prank by a reporter or something, that a member of the media did that one.
A lot of this, like there's a lot of copycats and things that start happening. Because
I watch a documentary and there's like new evidence ones.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it turns out.
But then
if
there's somebody you're wanting to kill, you know, and the Jack the Ripper's running around.
Take him to Whitechapel, slit their throat.
That's what it was. It was a medical student. That was a prank by a medical student because he had access to body parts like a kidney like that.
Yeah.
So it turns out that
and
that
they
one
couldn't
was
DNA
not.
Test.
Now they can.
Now they
and
can.
And they try. It's weird. Like, yeah, there's all kinds
well,
of
at the I'm saying at the time, though, this the is
the medical examiner at the time ruled that that kidney was a human kidney.
It was a human kidney. It was a medical student.
Yeah, but they couldn't DNA test it to say, like, this is from her.
Right.
You know, I mean, you could fucking prank anybody back then.
Yeah.
So that was the Dear Boss letter promising that talking about blood in a jar, writing with it, mailing the ears, and then the From Hell letter. I may have referred to the double homicide night where they killed two and said that he ran out of time. There wasn't enough time or something. He constantly talked about he killed them before they could squeal and shit.
Yeah.
But really, yeah, you should definitely read the letters. It's really fucking creepy. Yeah,
and the language is really bizarre. It's like super broken.
But allegedly, that one was a hoax by a medical student.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they're broken and they're translated, right? They would have had to have been translated.
No, they were in English. Yeah.
They were in English?
Mm-hmm. It's just a spelling. And again, if you read, stuff from street people in London in the late 1800s, this is probably the spellings that would be occurring.
They're written in Cockney.
Like
it wasn't
they really are.
From
I mean, it's just everything is phenetic.
I guess they probably weren't very smart.
Right. It's not like I'm a fucking linguistic expert, but I look at it and see someone from London who speaks like really rough English more than I would look at a foreigner who's trying to write in a second language.
Yeah, it was a real melting pot.
Really different.
Yeah, and the thing was, literacy was on the rise.
It's like mumble rap.
Yeah.
People were starting to read the newspaper and shit, and so to the point that eventually like the public gets onto it and it kind of goes viral for its time, and like the police commissioner ends up fucking resigning and shit because of the public outcry because he's just like, can't fucking solve this shit.
Right.
You know, they're just taunting him and sending him fucking letters about it.
Hmm.
And so, actually, there's one signed, Catch Me If You Can, right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was Leonardo
and
DiCaprio.
And the Jack the Ripper name pretty much comes from the press. Like it wasn't a name that this person
in one of the
selected.
Letters it coined it. I can't remember actually. We'll probably run across it. One of the other letters that was said, you can call me Jack the Ripper or something like that. But they said they thought it might have been produced by the press for branding and sensationalizing purposes.
Oh, wow.
But then they retie that back to like, oh, well, this guy went by the nickname Jack on a couple of the suspects or something. But yeah, I think there was a letter claiming you can call me by my name Jack the Ripper or something. In one of those letters.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think in that letter though, I think it makes a reference to the fact that, unless I'm thinking of a different letter, like he thanked someone else for having given him the name.
I think you're right.
Like that there was some weird reference to someone and then another like LOL, ha ha ha. Right. after it, if I remember that letter.
Said properly. BRB.
Yeah.
OMG, BRB, LOL.
AFK.
Yeah.
The one thing that I saw that I thought was interesting, and I'll post a link to it, is at one point in 1988, the FBI was hired to have a forensic serial killer expert dig into all the open evidence of the case. Did you run into any of that?
Yeah, I saw that they did some like DNA testing and found like some kind of genetic mutation.
They did. Yeah, I didn't see the genetic mutation thing, but I read the report. There's a link to it on the FBI website. And that's what I'll put in the show notes if you want to read the, it's like a 8-page report, and they sum up the case. And I thought it was interesting reading it, you know, from a modern day forensic perspective. But this is the breakdown that a modern day FBI said of the Jack the Ripper serial killer. The victims were what they called high risk. They all drank heavily. They were hookers. They were in an area that had bad policing. So even though forensic evidence sucked at the time,
It was even worse then
because it's like you can't even look for a fingerprint because they're drunk hookers who are in bars and handled by men. You couldn't look for a hair.
Who was the last guy they were with in hair. Was like, yeah, going to be a fucking John.
So odds are they were going to get murdered. Odds are they were drunk. And odds are you can't get any reliable forensic evidence off of them based on where
they
were.
The police officers resorted to dressing in drag and started like parading around like hookers? So they would just hopefully like he would try to kill them.
Yeah.
They didn't shave their mustache, so that's what gave me. Half of them had mustaches anyway.
That sounds like a bad plan.
They said that at the time, prostitution was more dangerous than it is modern day because it didn't exist in the current situation where there's a pimp with a stable,
right?
Where the pimp is the protection for all the hookers and everybody on the street knows that this guy runs these hookers. Right. And if something happens to them, you're taking his money and he's coming after you.
Right.
That wasn't the case back then. The hookers were all on their own. So violence was much higher against prostitutes because you didn't have to worry about a pimp coming after you and pimp slapping you. They looked at the medical examining. They said that there was no evidence of sexual assault. They were all killed rapidly. The process of removing the organ suggested medical knowledge, no torture prior to death. All the mutilation was post-mortem, very tight blood loss patterns, at the scene of the crime, which meant they were killed very efficiently. It wasn't like a struggle. It wasn't like, you know, it was just a quick
cut. I watched a video where they had like these white papers with like surgical clear tubing running out from the back up and then through the paper. And they would cut like, to show splatter patterns. I was like, God damn, these fools are crazy. It was like bones. It was like the tissue bones. They had set up and they like cut the fucking tube while blood sprayed out. And they could tell the difference between the blood in a tube that wasn't pumping versus one that was under pressure.
Right.
And what the splatter patterns were. I was like, God, they're crazy. They will. They will catch your ass.
They're going to catch your
ass. They're almost catching this motherfucker from back in the day with old crusty DNA off of a fucking rag. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bill Cosby.
Yeah. You can't get away with shit. There was a dude at Chipotle yesterday driving an OJ Bronco, and I was like, what does that say about you?
I really want the 94 Bronco.
It's a good
Bronco.
He was totally driving it. And my daughter was like, I was like, damn, it's an OJ Bronco. When it pulled up, my daughter's all, didn't like a serial killer or someone drive that car? I was like, I just said it was OJ Bronco.
OJ didn't do it.
He did, though.
It was Jack the Ripper.
The gloves shrunk. His son did it.
That's right. Oddly enough, all the victims had their rings taken.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, the FBI said that all of them had, no other jewelry was missing, just their rings. So they were taking a trophy. They were all killed in the early morning hours.
On only Saturdays and Sundays.
Only Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays.
Okay. Yeah. Weekends.
Well, those are religious days.
All within a quarter mile of each other. So very tight kill pattern. They called this his primary comfort zone. And then the last one was a little bit outside of that, which they referred to as the secondary zone, which is what is typical with a serial killer. When things heat up, they'll retreat from their primary comfort zone and go into a secondary zone because they're afraid that they're going to get caught where the police are actively looking. And then they discuss.
I think the killing on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, alludes to them having a job, probably.
That's what they get into when they get into the profile. They discuss his ritual, and they say that every serial killer has a ritual. And they say that his ritual and his fantasy They think were carried out on the last killing, and that he was gaining confidence in what he was doing. He was gaining more skill in the mutilation, and he was alone where he wasn't going to get interrupted in an alley, right, which is why the last body was so thoroughly mutilated.
Yeah.
Because that was the ritual that he wanted to do the whole, that was the fantasy this person wanted to live out the whole time. He just couldn't pull it off in an alley. Right. And then, so the FBI profile, they did a profile based on all the evidence that they found. They said that they thought Jack the Ripper was a 28 to 36 year old male. He would have dressed up so that the prostitutes thought that he had money so that they would initiate contact with him.
Right.
They said that he had a family with a domineering mother and a weak or absent father. They said that they thought the mother drank heavily and that he had an abusive family life that drove him to be asocial. He worked where he could practice his family, which also gave him the skill, or his fantasy. Mm-hmm. So it not only gave him the skill set, but that's what he got off on anyway, was cutting bodies and doing that. So his job, and again, they said a butcher, a medical student.
And what's really cool is, like, we know from the cases that have been solved that their fucking profiles are spot on. Yeah, like, they're amazing.
Exactly. That's why when I was reading this, I was tripping,
because
their profiles are unbelievable.
It's like a carnival trick.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fucking crazy.
I wonder if they could, like, have them profile us. Like, at
I'm sure they could.
To see what crimes we would commit. If we're gonna commit,
they do it backwards.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you're most likely.
Yeah,
you're most likely to be a pedophile.
Shit's gonna start Tuesday.
What?
Yeah. They think that he had a regular job Monday through Friday, which is why the killings happened when they happened. They said that he was below average in height and weight. They think that he either had bad speech, bad complexion, or a physical illness or injury.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that he probably had a venereal disease, because they think he only had sex with hookers in the first place because he was sick or infirmed or had a speech impediment or something. So he was very antisocial. Oh, right. Plus he was in somehow deformed or unlike other people. So
something
he had to have
make
sex.
Him have
yeah. Hookers, right. And right. I think that he had a venereal disease.
How many of those hookers had like some
all
sort
of them?
God, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Except for the one who just started.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. They all had cheese on their taco.
Yeah.
That's blue waffles.
Yeah. That's the yeast infection. On top of the syphilis. Yeah.
They said he was not married.
Google blue waffles.
And that he worked in or near Whitechapel, probably at a hospital, which was only one block away from the scene of the first murder.
Right.
So that was the FBI's take on it. That was their profile. That was their look. And this is just a summary. Like, the summary explains, like, we did all this in depth. This is our finding. So they did a really deep, they did, you know, genetic stuff as best they could. They did whatever that they could do. And this is in 88. So it wouldn't have been as sophisticated as if it happened now.
What do you think it's like to be like a criminal profiler and try to hang out with your friends and be like, I bet that fool's into feet.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Just at the barbecue and like your friend says shit and does shit. And you see his post on Instagram. You're like, that fucking
it would
guy
be like the, it would
sucks
be like the,
toes.
The illusionist or the people who like the clairvoyant people.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're like, I know what you're thinking. And you're like, no, you don't. You're like, yeah, I do.
It's a curse. You can't have any friends because you know they're all fucking weird.
You right. Wanna, you want to fuck that cabbage right now, don't you? Dave. Don't you, Dave?
Or no, I'm sorry. It's not a red cabbage.
Yeah. Or do they feel compelled? Like, what if they're wrong? They're like, that guy shouldn't be around schools.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Right.
And it's like, I should do something about it.
Tell you.
Wrong. Yeah. No, bro. Right.
Yeah.
I'm just into Cabbage Patch dolls. Yeah.
I like dolls. Yeah, I porcelain like dolls. Ones, big ones, small ones. Yeah.
Live ones?
Live ones, yeah.
Dead ones?
Yeah. They're all the same. They're collectibles.
What's the black, problem? Blue? Black and blue and in my trunk?
Yeah. What's some people problem? Collect rocks. I collect dolls.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
So that was the FBI's profile, which I thought was interesting. But so who did we run into? Because again, I know we're not going to cover all some Ripperite out there listening to the podcast is going to go and give us a one star because we're not going to cover their favorite.
And guess what? They don't really know either.
Exactly.
So fuck off.
It's called the Ripperite. Yeah. There's also Ripperologist. That's a real word. Yeah. Ripperologist. Yeah. I didn't hear Ripperologist. Yeah.
Ripperologist would be better.
I saw there was a head of the criminal investigation department, a guy named Sir Melville.
Sir Marvel Mystery Oil.
Mm-hmm. He had three primary suspects.
Sir Marvel which was, Mystery Oil.
Yes. Montague Pruitt, Michael Ostrog, and Aaron Kosminski.
Michael Ostrog.
The Montague Pruitt guy was basically his mom had gone insane, and I
think
guess
it was Druitt.
Druitt? Yeah. Oh, what did I just say?
Pruitt.
Oh, that's my badass handwriting. Yeah. By badass, I mean it's sick. My D's look like P's, bitch. Try that. Yeah, no, it is Druitt. You're right. I guess it's right. Pruitt. I don't know. Based off my notes, school. Who knows?
What do you know about me? That was my high school English teacher.
Pruitt?
Yeah, Mr. Pruitt.
Really? Did you get a good grade in there?
Huh?
Mine was Mrs. Black, and she would take constant fucking smoke breaks. That was my English teacher. And we would, every time she would take a smoke break, we would turn everything we could upside down. So like, you know, the Snoopy respect sign and the motivational posters and the fucking stapler, we just move shit upside down every time she walked out. She's also the one, because we had to write in our journals. So I would write weird poetry, like every rope hanging from every tree shouldn't be longer than 7'3". And if it is, I'll get a knife and cut a nice long piece of that rope's life. And if you were a profiler, you'd be worried about me, but it turns out I'm fine. I got a couple of kids, nuclear family, and a podcast.
Yeah.
But in high school, I would write poetry like that.
Me too.
And it would scare the teacher, and she fucking gave me extra credit one time. And I wrote something called The Blackened Chill. And it was like this fucking creepy thing about, in the chill, I felt the silence even, or I felt the violence even though the death was silent. This whole fucking creepy, scary thing that I wrote just to fuck with the teacher. But then she read it to the whole class. And then
she thought it was good.
Yeah, she did. She was like, this student's going to get extra credit and I really like their creativity. I was like, no.
And she didn't want you to kill her.
Yeah, please be the Bob Hope. Right. Yeah, the Bob Hope smoking dope rope, whatever stupid thing I said. And it was the black and silence that made it seem like I was trying to seriously be a poet or something. And I was just trying to scare the teacher.
Yeah.
Which now would be a bad idea. They'd probably take me out of school.
Yeah, that would be a very bad idea.
For shooting everyone or something. Yeah.
You could.
But then she read it, and then she was like, and that student is Brent Van Tassel. And I was like, no.
You're professional.
And everyone just looked at me like, nerd. We thought you were the fucking wrestler guy that could kick our ass, and now you're a poet.
Yeah, now you're a soft poet.
You know what? You know, like, that's what I was trying to tell my daughter, because my daughter's getting older. You know, yours is getting ready to go into high school here pretty soon.
It is.
Like,
our just finished high school, or just finished her first high school class.
So. I've been trying to tell my daughters, like both of them, one's 9 and one's going to be 12. And I'm like, look, don't worry about what your friends think, or don't worry about what kids say or anything, because for one, they're idiots.
Yeah.
And two, after high school, you're not going to fucking know them. Like I have like one or two people that I actually know from high school. Everybody else is a piece of shits. Like, you know,
that's probably, I might be the exception to the rule. I'm in contact with some friends from high school for real.
You don't really have any friends.
But no, we've already had several talks about like what's going down at school. Like, she's called me and she's like, kids are doing this, they're doing that. What do I do? And I'm just like, fucking stay away from those fucks.
Yeah, no, but she got all the dope.
99.7% in her health class. Nice. Yeah. A bunch of kids got kicked out. Just summer school. Do your shit.
Because they're unhealthy.
Yeah, there was scurvy. Scurvy F. I don't care if you pass the test.
Yeah. Got 99 donuts, but my mom ate one.
My mom ate one.
So, yeah, I saw that the Montague Druitt, he was a barrister and a teacher, and supposedly he was interested in surgery, which is very strange.
And classified as sexually insane. And apparently his mom had just lost her mind or something, like it was known, and that his family even possibly suspected him at the time of being Jack the Ripper. And there were some notes they recovered he had written that he even admittedly said he thought he was losing his mind.
And like he disappeared.
Like the dark chill.
Yeah.
After the final murder, this guy disappeared. This guy disappeared. And then he was later found dead.
In the River Taint. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah. In the River Taint.
Yeah.
It's over by Gooch Harbor.
Exactly. Yeah. They tainted him on Gooch
Harbor. I keep my boat over there. Just easy. It's cheap.
Michael Ostrog was a Russian criminal and physician. And he was placed in an insane asylum later on because of homicidal tendencies.
Yeah. It's a cool band.
It's a good band. Yeah.
What kind of shit are you doing? Like, that's just considered a tendency that they just go like, well, you're only in there for a little while. Yeah. Like, what are they letting you back out for?
Right.
Or was just enough to get you put in, but not kept there.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good
off in the fucking coffee shop.
Yeah. He was just in a death metal band, you know, fucking screaming around. He just talked like Cookie Monster.
Who's gone?
Everybody.
Yeah.
And they're like, this guy's fucking crazy. He's like,
can I get a venti white chocolate mocha?
We need to make a fucking like a Sesame Street fucking like metal band, black metal.
Yeah. I have to remember the name of it. There's a guy who does YouTube videos. They're fucking awesome. He's a vegan,
Right?
And he cooks recipes, And the whole time he's doing the recipe, he's singing the
like
recipe.
Like black metal?
Like black metal.
Oh, funny.
And he only does what vegan recipes. And like the knives all are all like, and it's like black fingernails. You never see the person, but just like black fingernails and leather like gloves goth. And big like goth, right. like skull knives chopping it. And it's like, you know, then you blanch the noodle.
How many followers does that guy have?
I don't know. I
probably,
can't remember.
Probably a lot.
Probably way more than us.
He does pad thai noodles and he doesn't even do it well. He's just like hacking at everything with big goth knives. It's pretty damn funny.
That's funny.
Anyway, so Aaron Kaminsky, the
Jack the Ripper,
I saw had more on than the other people.
Right.
And I think it's because in 2014, so this guy hated women, especially prostitutes. He was known for that in the region.
He spent time in an asylum as well.
Yep. In 2014, a guy named Russell Edwards, who's an author and a ripologist.
Ripperologist. Yeah.
He got DNA evidence because he found a shawl that belonged to Catherine Eddowes that the family had. The family had recovered it after the crime.
Probably that
scene.
One I said they found east of the other murder or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, but and this was in the family the whole time, so it had never been admitted to evidence, and he ended up getting his hands on it. He bought it. He had it. He had DNA results tested from it, and
they had to compare that to like a descendant.
Right.
They had to get someone to willingly like, which is weird.
But hey, supposedly
you,
there was a
excuse
genetic,
me, could you come on this bandana for me?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So there was apparently a genetic match between
I'd do it.
Evidence on the shawl and descendants of the Kaminsky.
They had a molecular biologist do a DNA test that showed not a DNA match, but there's a type of genetic mutation that only 1 in 290,000 people have, and it's called 314.1C or 314.1C, and only 1 in 290,000 people have it. So for the Aaron to have it and her shawl to have it,
it's pretty
it was like
wild, yeah.
But then it turns out there was a clerical error and it was actually 315.1C, not 314.1C, and 99% of the population actually have it.
Oh, no shit. Yeah.
And now the scientist and the guy that had the shawl will do no peer review. And they won't answer any fucking questions.
Of course.
Kind of hurts their case because now it's like,
So, it wasn't
so that
Kaminsky.
One's fucked. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just have great ideas, but you don't know if they're great or not.
So you try it.
Well, I just want to run it by you.
Okay. Ketchup and mustard in the same bottle.
No.
No.
So.
That's a good idea.
We did that at Ritzy Burger.
Yeah. Ritzy Burger. Mm-hmm. Ketchup and mustard in the same bottle.
That was the secret sauce.
That's a good idea.
But fucking Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr.
No, it was 50-50 ketchup and mustard.
See, but theirs, though, you can't separate it.
Yeah. Actually, though, they didn't call it secret sauce. They called it Ritzy sauce.
Ritzy sauce.
You shook it up, so it was kind of orange.
Yeah, you mixed two
so
giant...
mine's different.
Mine
has
two giant
distinct
tubs.
Fucking bladders in the bottle, right? I want to come out in stripes. I want to look like that fucking the gum.
Oh,
AIM.
Nice. Yeah. Or not
the gum.
It has different tips.
The toothpaste, like AIM.
It's got different tips on it. Yeah.
It's a separated, segregated tip.
They have those.
I don't like that at all.
You know,
I
like do. Segregated
tips.
No.
Yeah.
Huh. Anyway,
you're going to cross the streams.
Yeah.
During the 50s, there was a lot of segregated.
So I'm going to give you. So the title to my new album. Okay. It's The Plight of the Poor.
I like it.
All right.
I like it.
The songs. I'll give you the song names. Okay. Mm-hmm. This will give you an idea of what the album is about. Almost Unrecognizable. Time Capsule, Press Criticism, Bread in the Slums, Old Houses and Pubs, A Journalist's Invention, The Physical Embodiment, Jack the Ripper Tour, Inquests and Interviews. Those are the songs.
I feel like this is an outline to an article, but somehow it perfectly fits what could be a rap album.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
A new album.
It is good, actually. Good. You could do that. Yeah.
I like it.
That's where you hear shit, you're like, that's a good band name.
Yeah.
Asphalt Lollipop. What?
So, other theories that came up is
Asphalt in the Lollipop would be
is the Mad Midwife.
That's a good
the
band
Mad
name.
Midwife.
Or, AKA,
why is everything
band.
A band
See?
Name?
Yeah. Or Jill the Ripper.
The Mad Midnight. Yeah.
Once again, band.
Can we start a band, The Plight of the Poor?
Only if you sing like Cookie Monster.
I will. I will.
Then make vegan pad thai noodles.
Talk about killing hookers.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
So a witness to the murder of Mary Jane Kelly said that she claimed to have seen Kelly at around 8:30 a.m. on Friday, but her body was discovered before that. So the witness insisted she saw a woman wearing Kelly's clothes hours after she was murdered and discovered. And one of the lead investigators on the case wondered and wrote notes saying that he thought one theory could be that the killer was a woman and that for some reason she put on Kelly's clothes yeah. after she murdered her and or walked before. Off in her clothes. Yeah, yeah, or yeah. before. And they said it was Jill the Ripper, and actually...
could have been a guy.
It
too.
Led to the nickname the Mad Midwife. It could have been a guy, especially if the FBI profile is true and he was especially short and petite
small.
And so forth.
He's kind of metro.
Well, it would be a positive attribute to be a female midwife. Blood is not a problem. You're like, yeah, right. she delivered a baby. It's fine. Right. And you're taking female, the placenta. They're just not looking for females. You know
you could
like,
be a midwife. Yeah. You're taking the placenta.
Well, that's why they say that. The midwife. She would have specified knowledge about that fucking, you know, she's like, I got one of those. I know where it's at, man. It's right here. Yeah.
And they think,
and I know what to do with it. You throw it against the wall.
You mix it
exactly.
With scrambled eggs,
pasta.
Yeah. Scrambled eggs and uterus. Yep.
The for some reason they think that the mad midwife is a woman named Mary Piercy, and she killed her former lover's new wife and their 18-month-old baby. She slit the woman's throat from ear to ear, dumped the body in the street, and then smothered the baby to death.
Damn.
And they thought that the way that the woman was murdered. The type of throat slit, all that stuff, they thought was very consistent with what Jack the Ripper.
Well, that's what they
thought.
You know, when you smother a baby, Brad knows this. If you smother a baby, you do it in a good dry rub, because that's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you get the flavor out. There's a lot of fat.
You don't want it wet.
Yeah.
But the problem is though. So this is the problem with that theory. She could have killed the other wife, but they didn't count on AI actually coming in and smothering the baby. So there was actually two. Or there was an accomplice, you know, with the murder there.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know why AI came into this.
That's because you don't remember things from last episode.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm Brad.
Yeah, nice to meet you, bro. I got nice tattoos. Does that mean something? Is like meaning behind that? Like grandma, your grandma died or something?
Yep.
And that's a Chinese statement.
My grandma did die.
I know. Mine too, bro. Thanks for the tattoo. It means a lot to her.
Yeah,
that's cherry blossom.
That's your grandma's name.
My grandma really loved Japan, and that's why I got these Japanese blossoms right here.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
My mom liked Japan, too.
Yeah.
3 years before Jack the Ripper... Oh.
Don't go too far. So I'm going to jump to Joseph Barrett real quick, because you just did Mary Kelly and the midwife crisis. That was a Freudian slip.
Yeah.
I'm fixing my Volkswagen bus. I'm moving away. So Joseph Barrett was a fish porter, and he actually lived with Mary Kelly. She was the fifth victim, and he disapproved of her being a prostitute. And I guess he got interviewed and he got questioned for fucking hours after her death because he had intimate knowledge of the fucking apartment that she was in and the bed and the room and what was going on, the surroundings and whatnot, because he lived there until 10 days prior.
Right.
But he disagreed with her working as a prostitute because he loved her. They weren't married. He referred to her as his wife. And he said that she never was a prostitute when he lived with her because he wouldn't allow it. And he worked so that she didn't have to do that. But I guess he fell on hard times and lost his job. She went back to prostitution. And the theory of motive would be he started murdering prostitutes to scare her off the street. So he murders. They say fish porter. What does a fish porter do? Is he fucking throwing them or he's cutting them? I could see if he's like cutting them, but that doesn't give you like an anatomical knowledge of women.
Yeah, but it's hard to cut their stomach open and wake out some stuff.
Well, plus if he was cutting manfish, then that's pretty
manfish. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it can smell like fish sometimes, so it is similar.
Yeah. He's cutting tuna, and then he goes and he cuts out the tuna.
Exactly. So, apparently, she came home with a couple other prostitute buddies.
Oh,
She came home. Mm-hmm. Snail trail all the way up the stairs. Yeah. So she came home with a couple of prostitutes.
Yeah. You have to after she gets in the door, you got to throw down salt for the other fucking snail trails.
Yeah. She scoots her butt on the carpet. She's expressing her anal gland like a fucking pug.
Yeah. Don't throw salt. Carpet. Don't throw salt on a Victorian prostitute because they shrivel up. Yeah.
That'll keep a Victorian prostitute off your rug. Yeah. Good rug.
That's how you got to do it.
They might scoot for a couple inches, but that no more.
Make sure that salt's kosher too. You don't want anything less.
Yeah,
it's got to be prayed over.
Yeah,
gotta be blessed.
Yeah,
it has to be a Jewish guy that did it spelled wrong. It's a Mason. So anyway, they get in a big fucking fight, and I guess she was a drinker or something, and they got in a fight. They fucking break windows and shit. He leaves, and then 10 days later, she's murdered and fucking skinned, and no other murders happen after her. That was the last one. So job done. Like, he kills some hookers to scare her off the street. He doesn't like her being a hooker. They get in a fight because she brings hookers home. She gets killed and skinned. No more murders.
You've convinced me he didn't do it.
I think he did. It seems the most plausible. And other people said his friends at the fucking, wherever he was a fish porter, referred to him as Jack. I don't know why.
Because his name's Jack the Ripper?
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but if somebody gave that guy that name, Jack the Ripper, the paper, and.
Yeah, they might be reaching on that Jack thing. Yeah.
Who knows?
So, did you hear about the servant girl annihilator?
That's Texas thing? That seems to be a fucking movie like now. Yeah. Quentin Tarantino needs to make the service girl annihilator because that sounds so futuristic.
Yeah, exactly.
It just sounds out of era.
The 3 years before Jack the Ripper in England, there was a serial killer that was called the servant girl annihilator.
Why don't we do a show on her?
Who killed 8 people in Austin, Texas.
No, for real. Nice. Like, it should be a show. Yeah. I never heard of that before.
The servant girl annihilator had never been identified. An author named Shirley Harrison, a modern day author, said that they thought it was the same person, and they think it was a person named James Maybrick, who was a British cotton merchant who made frequent business trips to the United States, and like the timing lines up based on his ship passage and so forth. But in 1992, a diary surfaced that was supposedly James Maybrick's diary. Everything's so fucked up back then. He died in 1889 after being poisoned by his wife. And the diary contains graphic details and confessions to the murders of several of the women, and it's signed Jack the Ripper.
Right.
There's a lot of doubt of whether or not he wrote that diary, whether it was authentic.
Well, the guy that found it was Mike Barrett, and there's some problems because one of the stories is he was handed the diary down via generations of family. Mm-hmm. The other story is it was found under the floorboard by him himself. Then there was associates of Mike Barrett found the diary and handed it to him. There was actually on record of him admitting to fabricating the entire diary altogether, but then later recanting that because it was probably like, oh, wait, I'm cool. I'm cool for a second. Hold on. Right. Let me do this. So I don't know. That one seems weird. There's also a gold watch that was found that has the words "I am Jack" engraved inside the gold cover and the initials of every victim. And they took it to like a fucking crazy electron microscope place that verified the age of the scratches were not done in any modern time and that it was dated to as early as 1846 as far as the watch itself. So it was an old watch. The scratches via the electron microscope had enough fucking, you know, free radical breakdown and fucking whatever had happened that they weren't brand new scratches because they can tell that shit. You know?
Right.
Oak Island. That's
where sorry to go back. I was trying to figure this out. The servant girls, were they prostitutes?
I don't know.
That's
a whole thing. Servant girls. Totally dig into
we should totally dig into that. If that's what they meant by servant girls, then
I don't know. That's what I was trying to wonder because if they're trying to link it to Jack the Ripper and they're not prostitutes,
that's kind of
a stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jinx, you owe me a dick suck.
Damn it. God damn it.
Did you see Walter Sickert?
No.
And on Walter Sickert. Walter Sickert was an impotent painter, I guess, that exclusively painted prostitutes. And then several of his paintings. What is that from? I know what that is. That's fucking Titanic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now the music's in my head. Celine Dion.
Leonardo DiCaprio was Jack the painter.
Bare-chested Leo with the Titanic song
in my head. Yeah. Tonight.
Isn't that Elton John?
Yeah, that's the wrong. Isn't that's it? Not the Titanic. That's the Lion King.
Yeah.
and I ain't lying.
Yeah.
But no, so where the fuck? Walter Sickert was a painter, painted only prostitutes. He was obsessed with Jack the Ripper, and he actually painted a couple themed paintings. Like, I think one of them was called Jack the Ripper's Bedroom, was the name of one of his paintings. And the reason that there's so much attention surrounding him is there was a crime novelist named Patricia Cornwall. She was a crime novelist author, and she made millions of dollars selling crime stories. She went fucking crazy and became obsessed with him as a suspect, and she invested £2 million in 2001 to buy 32 of his paintings, letters, and even his old writing desk. And she went so far as to, like, this is some weird, like, fucking, like, Nicolas Cage shit. She sliced paintings in half or something, I guess, looking for clues that might show that he was Jack the Ripper.
Christ.
After she spent millions of
dollars.
That's, and that's why she was just a crime novelist and not an actual detective.
She lost her
mind.
So I guess, though, this guy, Walter Sickert, did like cosplay of Jack the Ripper before there was cosplay. He would go so far to be obsessed with him that he dressed up like how Jack the Ripper should be.
In the 1880s?
Yeah, in the overcoat with the trench coat.
Back then.
Back then.
Back in the shit street days.
Yes. Yeah, nobody really knew.
But no one knew.
Can we, can we call these the shit street days?
Yeah, for sure.
So,
shit street back. Day. All right.
Keep going.
I know the song now.
Which song?
From Titanic. I got a feeling
that is it.
That tonight's gonna be a good night.
Yeah,
tonight's gonna be a good night.
That's it.
That's
it. Speaking of good night, there were some forensic investigations of some of the letters. So they gathered like the Dear Boss letter, the From Hell letter, a couple of the letters
that are all different.
That was back on track transition. That was fuck off with your tonight's gonna be a good night. I'm back to the letters.
Nobody cares about the bogus letters.
And then
they're all fake.
I guess some of Walter Sickert's paper or letters that she bought in that auction with all the artwork for $2 million. They compared it and they took it to fucking, there's crazy people. You know there is, because you find like
old parchment
and old books that are made out of fucking human skin and shit. And people can look at shit with microscopes and they can tell this paper fabric was made from the same fucking tree or whatever, right?
Right.
So they take some of Sickert's letters that she gets in the auction and they look at some of the letters that were written, like the From Hell letter, and they could deduce that both of the papers in his letters and the Ripper letters were made from a batch of 24 sheets. I guess because they made it in like big ass things and it was cut a certain way. So like the actual cut lines in the fabric across the paper, the way it was made back then, that the letters that were written by the alleged Ripper letters and the ones that were written by Sickert were from the same batch of 24 sheets of paper.
The problem
which
is
would
though,
be pretty crazy.
The problem is though, those some of those letters were not real.
Right. So that they goes to like either they're shopping at the same Rite Aid and happened upon the same stack. Or
if they're all in the same area,
Sickert was the guy sending in the fraudulent letters because he was so obsessed dressing up in cosplay that he actually wrote the fake letters.
Yeah.
Or the opposite, that he was Jack the Ripper.
Right.
And he wrote the letters.
I don't think so.
So I don't know. Everyone wants to be Jack the Ripper. That's the fucking problem.
Right.
Like back in the day, like there was no cool guys. You know what I mean? There wasn't celebrity status. There was no Johnny Depp, so everyone's trying to be Jack the Ripper.
Speaking of Johnny Depp, there's the From Hell theory. Which gets, and I didn't look into it a whole lot because I just don't fucking think it's real. I think it's great fiction, but I don't think it's real. So the theory is that, if I remember right, the Prince Albert,
in a can.
The grandson of Queen Victoria, secretly married a prostitute named Annie Elizabeth Cook, and that the Freemasons, because he was a Mason,
he had a child out of wedlock with a commoner. I don't know that she was a prostitute, but with a commoner,
right?
And I guess Queen Victoria or whoever was it, puts out a fucking hit on any loose strings. And so if it was a prostitute, it would be like, oh, hey, I fucked the prince. And she told her friends.
Right.
And so they went around snuffing out the fucking loose strings.
Right.
So that would explain killing the prostitutes. And then basically the other part of that is that Prince Albert Victor Christian Edward, Jesus Christ, that's a big name. That's what she said. No. That's big. I don't know. I went with it. But that he went crazy from syphilis, which he did, and that he could have committed the murders and it was part of a royal cover-up and this giant conspiracy. So
that's actual kid.
The problem is there's not a lot of like fucking real evidence, though.
It's there's
like
not a lot of real evidence on anything.
No, some of these are. There's like a weird watch with the engravings. There's like diaries signed by, you know, there's like a little more. But the one that I feel like, the Joseph Barrett, that's the one for me. The fish porter guy that was dating
that
the
one
kind of
seems plausible.
That seems the most
everything
plausible.
Everything links together. The murder stopped after he killed her.
And here's
her.
The thing. I'm completely failing as a researcher because I didn't remember this until I was actually driving here to record the episode. But I remembered seeing something. I think it was on a Discovery Channel. And it was some people who had a new theory about Jack the Ripper. And it was that it was a physician on a ship, like a merchant ship doctor. And they ended up basically this particular ship had docked in different ports around the world. And all the times it docked, there were murders of prostitutes. And it was docked in London at that specific like couple of months. And I forget the guy's name or whatever, but it was a really interesting tell that then they tracked this ship and its locations and all the locations had dead hookers.
I'm always worried.
I thought that was a very interesting
the way that we do research. Like I do it chronologically. I'm like, let's watch the documentaries that are out, starting the research, starting the reading and like a fucking as much as I can. Then we run out of time. And I'm always like, I'm going to find out tomorrow. They solved this.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
It's like, no, it was this guy. They found it. There's a picture of him fucking cutting guts out.
Russell Edwards, is that who you're thinking of?
I don't remember the name at all.
But I'm sorry.
But one thing that no one's brought
Aaron Kosminski.
No, we talked about
Polish
him. Aaron Kosminski.
Yeah, Aaron.
Hey, I have to say new evidence then. Dr. Neil Cream, is that him?
Because they're talking about the DNA.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Neil Cream.
That's him,
killing them prostitutes.
That's gotta be.
Killing them prostitutes.
I'm voting for Neil Cream.
Have you got Dogney, like crusty Dogneys? That's it. That use Neil Cream.
Yeah.
It's made from real pearls.
Yeah.
It'll fix that shit.
No. Yeah. Well, that's what would happen though. He was trying to sell the Neil Cream to the prostitutes with the crusty knees and they were fucking denying
it. It fixes everything. Yeah. It's like snake oil, blue waffle.
And so he just said, fuck it, and killed him.
Cheesy taco.
One of his pet peeves was having prostitutes with crusty knees.
Right, exactly.
I mean that,
and some of them used the Neil Cream and were saying it didn't work, and they were spreading it on the street that the Neil Cream didn't work, so he had to silence them.
Yeah.
If you live back then, you would thank yourself for blowjobs in the alley on a fucking on asphalt. Back then, it was like cobblestone and fucking dirt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a luxury to give a blowjob on fucking asphalt in an alley these days.
So I'm going with the theory that most people don't talk about, which is that Jack the Ripper was actually Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
The big-headed Jack.
That makes sense.
No one talks about that's where he got the name Jack.
He's immortal, for one.
Exactly.
He's been alive.
Exactly.
He's like a vampire.
Yep.
Yep. Jack in the Box vampire. Everybody knows Jack in the Boxes are vampires.
And, I mean, it doesn't come up a lot in the research, but most of the eyewitnesses, when they described the person that was with the hookers, said giant, round, white head and yellow cone nose.
Well, the problem is after they give him a blowjob, he offered him strawberry cheesecake and none of them would ever buy it.
Right.
Exactly. And he finally got fed up, you know,
He smelled like spicy chicken.
Yeah.
Does anyone, Brad probably buys the strawberry cheesecake. You do, huh?
What?
When they offer you cheesecake at Jack in the Box?
Fuck no.
You shake your head like, fuck no, that seems so you. You don't buy dessert at Jack in the Box?
No.
What do you get?
Who the fuck buys dessert at Jack in the Box?
I feel like
you
would.
Do you buy the tacos at Jack in the Box?
If I was profiling you, if I profiled you, I would have pegged you.
Well, you were fucking wrong.
Apparently. What do you get at Jack in the Box? What's your Jack in the Box? Let me hear it.
What's my Jack in the Box? Yeah. I get breakfast from Jack in the Box. That's it.
No matter what.
Their food's
24
garbage.
Hours.
Yes. If I go to Jack in the Box, well, besides tacos. But tacos you can eat for breakfast.
Yeah. Back in the day, tacos are breakfast food.
That is.
That's the thing. Yeah.
So you get the tacos or you get Ultimate Breakfast Sandwich, Breakfast Jacks. That's it.
What's
good there.
In your day, Dave, what did you get at Jack in the Box?
Tacos and fries.
There you go. Just tacos and fries?
That's the only thing that's good there. Their burgers are garbage.
It depends, man.
I love their fries.
Their specialty burgers are not garbage. They used to have this one that we called the Octagon Burger, and it was fucking ridiculous for a little while. It was a limited thing. No, it was one that came in this fucking stop sign box. It was fucking like, it looked like a UFC ring with a burger setting in the middle of it, and it had giant ass thick red onion sliced on it. It was like an Apache sandwich with an actual patty. It was delicious, but they don't have it anymore. Yeah. It was a disaster though. Like it was like eating at Jack in the Box on a Carl's Jr. commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I had a white glove, Brad,
you'd slap
even
me.
A bedazzled white glove, whatever. I would slap the fuck out of you.
Garbage.
Is it sponsor time?
Yeah. You know what's good on
Jack in the Box?
Yep.
Blood. I was going to say my theory.
Blood and uteruses.
Of the shorter than average, underweight Jack the Ripper, time traveler, Gary Coleman.
Absolutely. Right.
That's what I believe.
No one brings it
up. Nobody brings it up.
He loves Jack in the Box too, which is weird. It doesn't really tie up or make sense. It's just a coincidence.
He left the Jack in the Box Happy Meal on their chest.
Yep.
Yeah.
After he cut him with a plastic knife from Jack in the Box.
The name Black Jack is actually named after him.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's black and he was actually Jack.
Well, that's what they call him.
It's encoded. Exactly. It's encoded into the history of the world.
They called him Black Jack.
Exactly.
And then it just didn't translate over. Nobody. Yeah. That's the problem, though, is that
it fits the FBI profile.
That's the problem, though, with these FBI profilers, though. That's the only issue they have, is they don't believe in time travel.
Yeah. Right.
So,
and obviously, and the whole blackjack thing, no matter how old he got, he'd never be 21. He was forever a child.
Right. Never.
Yeah. It's a weird encoded universe that we live in.
That's why he was taking that's why he was taking the placenta. See, there is a whole in the book of Coleman, if you read,
it's a symbolism of rebirth.
Well, that, and there was a special potion that you would get from 5 different women.
Mm-hmm.
You had to get the placenta, the kidney. You had to take some other parts, some hair of street midget.
Yep.
And you mix them all together, and you can actually be reborn at some point and be a full-grown man. That's all he really wanted.
I wish there was a subscriptive service to Hair of Street Midget, because I'm constantly running out.
Yeah.
If I could sign up for that, it would just show
like
my door.
Amazon monthly subscription.
Yeah.
Where you always get six.
Just have the Amazon button next to your washer. You just push it. And
every 13 days. Yeah. Not 30. I'm not telling you. Every 13 days. Hair of Street Midget.
This is every 13 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Comes Amazon 2-day.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. The math is weird at the end of the year, but that's where leap years come in.
Yeah.
It fixes it. It all evens out eventually. Yeah. It takes about 7 years for the math to work out.
Yeah.
But you're never out of Hair of Street Midget.
No.
Yeah. If you run out of Hair of Street Midget and you're trying to make like spaghetti and meatballs, or Dave, just spaghetti and marinara sauce.
Or chili floss. I call it chili floss. That's where you put Hair of Street Midget in your chili. And when you're eating, it flosses at the same time.
I got a guy. I can get you Hair of Street Midget.
Yeah. I don't know if I try, like, you know, the street Hair of Street Midget versus like the clean stuff you can get now.
No, this is street.
It's medical grade.
This is medical grade street shit. Yeah.
Is it hydroponic or soil?
It's soil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll try it. I will try it once. Yeah.
Telling me, hold on a second.
If you say it's good, it's probably good.
The problem is, though, is that I can't believe that, because nowadays, to have a farm of midgets buried up to their head in soil growing the proper Hair of Street Midget is really hard to get away with.
No, I've seen the midgets.
I've seen the Easter Island farms where they're only buried to their waist, but like to the neck thing, the whole organic thing, the movement that's going on.
No, I've seen them. They come.
Yeah.
How many plants does he have?
The micro midget trees in Portland.
They're wild.
They're wild.
Yeah.
They're free range.
Yeah.
Free range.
Fuck yeah.
Midget.
Street midget.
Yeah. No. They come from LA, Sacramento, San Francisco.
He's tested regularly.
Absolutely.
They're.
He doesn't sell to very many people. He's very selective.
You can
hook us up.
It's just going to be bum hair, dude. No, dude.
He'll take you. He'll show you. He'll show you exactly where they come from.
Well,
trust me, dude. This
he's got the parents
there. It's expensive. Don't get me wrong. It costs a lot of fucking
money. For it,
I mean,
that's usually the problem. You're paying for it.
You're paying for it. Like, it's way better than Amazon Hair of Street Midget, but it's expensive. It's probably 6-7 times as expensive.
So it's like Vegan Ranch.
Kind of, yeah. Right. The market fluctuates.
Depending on how much is out there. They can run and dry. All the midgets are going bald. Shit.
Shaving them off the ground.
Got to get a new patch.
If it's good, it's worth paying for. Yep. Just like El Yucateco Hot Sauce. Our primary sponsor. It's available on Amazon and the Ebbies. It's on elyucateco.com. If you participate on social media, I might mail you some, man. I got a whole box of it up there. I'll put it in a fucking bag. I'll put it in a box. Put it in your mouth, you can put it on your socks, but it's not gonna fucking help you put it on your socks, man. In case of the hot feet.
We'll not eat the green eggs and ham.
Yeah. Sam I am. So check out El Yucateco Hot Sauce if you have not. And to the guy who posted the picture of his kid hugging bottles of the wrong kind of hot sauce, hit me up on social media. I'm gonna send you some hot sauce for that boy.
And Abe Thomas.
Yeah. And Abe Thomas. Congratulations.
Yep. And Dave Thomas.
Dave Thomas. Wendy's with your square patties. Live long and prosper. I don't know what's going on and why Spock came into that, but thank you to...
They call him Slave Abe.
Printer Cheap.
But then I looked at his profile picture and I was like, oh.
There you go. That's why. Yeah. Printercheap.com. You can use code SOFAKING to save some money. They sell printed goods such as stickers and banners and pretty much anything that can be printed, they can make it. Also, check out Daily Own Graphics. That is our silkscreen sponsor. They do all of our t-shirts. Their products can be found on our website at SOFAKINGpodcast.com/shop. Thank you to Digital Creations. They make our coffee mugs. We've got a couple variations of that on our site at soapickingpodcast.com/shop as well. And last but not least, thank you to Dan Camrio Jiu-Jitsu. You can log into armhunter.com for instructional DVDs and apparel. They have geese and stuff at times.
Yeah. And more ladies had ordered the shirts after we had mentioned it before.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gotten any feedback?
I got an out of stock on one, and I talked to that person. It was Kenshiro. Can't remember which Kenshiro. Because I got one. It was like a coffee mug and then a shirt, like separate orders. Uh-huh. So I've been getting in there and track it. Lots of them have been delivered, but I haven't seen anyone post one yet.
Yeah, or say I know yet. The quality of the print. I just didn't know how they like the shirts.
Yeah, like so, if you got one of those shirts, post it, make all the other ladies
women,
jealous.
Not John Kenshiro, though. Don't.
Well,
don't
it's for
fucking,
women. Yeah,
I know, but he was going to wear that shit.
Scoop neck. He did get it. He got a 2X scoop neck in like baby blue or some shit.
That's what I'm saying. We don't want his. Well, I guess we could take his opinion, Rock.
Here's the deal. Yeah. He's got cleavage. If he takes it from the neck down, belly button up, I don't care.
Well, I don't want to see a picture. I just want to know if it's comfortable, if it fits right.
Yeah, I don't want to see a picture either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Private message.
I'm just saying, just private message me. And let's see if I can tell the difference.
Yeah. You won't be able to tell. You like your women hairy.
Yeah. He or she, fap or not. .com. Yeah. So send it, submit it, whatever you want to do. That's all of our sponsors. I fucking wanted to give those guys a shout out. You talk about stuff and I'll find these fucking guys.
All right. Social media. If you're into Reddit, go to r/SofaKingPodcast. Join the conversation there.
Yes.
If there's one going on, I'm not on it. also, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter @SofaKingPodcast. That's where you can post, comment, share all the stuff to get Brent to send you stuff. So,
yeah, and it really helps us, to be honest. Like, we can throw money at social media, like, you know, promotions and advertisements, but I jump through so many fucking hoops of, like, cuss words, and they think it's political or whatever reason they want to stop it. It has more than 25% text.
Like, it's easier if you share it.
Yeah, I can't stress how much it helps us for organic social media promotion. So like, even if you just go on there and say, hey, like the show, if you share it, it's huge. Tell your friends about it. That stuff really, really helps us, because it's the most effective form of advertisement for us is you telling your friend, because you probably like the same shit as your friend and they're going to become a fan, and eventually they'll tell their friend or not. They might quit being your friend, but what kind of friend is that? Know. If they don't like hookah canoes,
threaten you with white gloves.
Hey, it's for your own good, bro.
No, it's not.
I found this name before we move on. It's Film Me In Podcast. They're Film Me In Pod on Instagram. I said I had a shout out for someone.
I know, but you were talking about it before the show.
I just didn't know what the Instagram was for sure. No. It's Film Me In Pod. They do movie reviews. They hit me up. They only have like 4 things out. Their stuff's on YouTube. I don't think it's actually on iTunes or anything, but I gave them the test because a lot of people ask me for like help and tips and shit on just the tips on Instagram and social media. And I said, what color is Dave's crotch? They said orange. I said, what's Brad punch? They said babies. I said, what's my favorite animal? They said pigeons. Brad said pigeons aren't animals.
It's a bird. It's a mammal.
Mammals are animals, bro.
No, they're not.
It's the animal kingdom. No. I don't think you understand how classification
works. Are you an animal?
Works. Yes.
No, you're not.
In bed.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Ripper takes uterus. I just beat him up. Yeah.
I'm What'd you just say?
Moving on.
I didn't understand.
Film Me In Podcast. So go check them out on Instagram. Give them a follow because they are part of the family. They love Sofa King. They knew the answers. It would take a lot of research to answer all those questions accurately. So they must be listening. And it's not horrible. They're actually pretty funny. They quoted the IT crowd. Their audio is not atrocious. And I like their video presentation. Their production quality is good so far.
The way you presented that to me, I won't like it. I'm not.
You don't
listening.
Like anything, bro.
I know.
Including Kermit the Frog.
Isn't that great?
Everybody in the world likes Kermit the Frog except for you.
I love not liking things.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome. Dave doesn't like things either.
I don't.
You know what you should do to cause an inception?
What?
Not like not liking things.
No.
That'll make your brain explode. No, that's like top type of
There's
Google
things that I
Google.
Do like.
Like what?
Like not liking things?
It's dizzy.
Anyway.
Your intellect is dizzying, sir.
I think the difference is Brad likes not liking things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't like not liking things, but I
you
can't
want
help
to like
but
things.
Not
like,
exactly.
You're
I want
forced.
To like things, but I cannot
You're
like
forced.
Them.
I'm doing it
because they
choice.
All fucking suck.
Yeah. I'm not a prisoner of my not liking.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't want to like
so
something.
So we both,
I can't.
At the end of the day, we both don't like the same things very often, but for totally different reasons.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Sucks, but that's how it is. Instagram, check us out on our personal Instagrams @SofaKingBrad, @SofaKingBrent, @SofaKingDave. Also check out the Captainist _SK Quotes and also Hilgenfeld and SofaKing Podcast Art Unofficial for some original, artwork.
Indeed.
Mr. Mott work. And if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast and donate $1, donate $5, $10, whatever you want to donate. Get some shit from us and helps out us. So That's it. Anything else?
Patreon. Thank you to everyone that's doing Patreon. We had a ton of fucking influx. If you still haven't checked your billing, go check your billing, because there is like 50 people still with decline cards. But a bunch of them fixed it. And we're still open to suggestions. We're coming up on the first month that we're going to do the charity stuff. So if you guys have suggestions, I'm personally leaning towards St. Jude. I'm doing some research. I don't know if you guys looked at anything yet. But I'm down to do a spectrum of things, too. We can break it up across stuff. I have thought about just letting the patrons vote on that shit.
I don't know. Some of the shit we've been getting has been very weird.
What'd you get? What'd you see?
Huh?
Oh, yes, there's like a pigeon fucking refuge. There's been weird shit. Things.
We've gotten silly stuff. I think our first message was that they didn't want us to give to charity.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Keep it.
So it's mixed reviews.
So it's fine.
We'll see.
Karma, man. We need all we can get.
Yep.
Talking about killing hookers, and you can only say dick so many times without giving back, bro. Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Yeah, you take too much dick, you got to give some back.
You have plenty of dick.
Yeah.
Anyway, end song is Invaders by Flawless Real Talk. Don't be retarded.
PM, spent the day in the lab, so exhausted. Creeping when I pulled up to the pad, right? I parked the car, took the L right out the stash. Checked the mail, cause I'm hearing that the label sent the bag. As I'm walking up the stairs, I saw a crystal clear. Somebody in the kitchen creeping low behind a chair. I try not to react so they don't know that I'm aware. So I pretend that I forgot my keys. That's the best store, straight to the garage. I know where to make my next call. My homie Mark got me, lucky that he's living next door. Back to back, my only backup ain't answering. I grab a pistol that I hit and start panicking. Deep breaths, I creep up to the side. I don't know how many could be inside, but I gotta make up my mind. This ain't a heist, cause they just saw me arrive and didn't leave. I think somebody wants me to die, but nah, I ain't going out tonight. Bet I got the heart to fight. This my house, so technically you know I got the right. Peek through the window, there might be a couple more. With only 3 rounds, I think I might need a couple more. Turn the knob, boy, I hope this back door don't squeak. Wifey told me I should fix this back door all week. Slide through, only stepping about 4 more feet. I'm trying to listen out for more feet. I'm paranoid as I hesitate around, waiting for the slightest sound. Ready for someone to pop up to lay anybody down. I knew I would have a target, it's included with the crown. I was born and raised here, I ain't never skipping town. Already cleared a couple rooms and I don't see no one. Huh, maybe they left when they seen my gun. Until I heard a ringtone from a cell phone rung. Thought to myself, how could anybody be so dumb? I start to head in that direction, using all of my discretion. Checking mirrors on the wall, trying to see off the reflection. Arms out, I'm just following the weapon. Almost done, the living room's the only place I haven't checked in. And I know it wasn't wise, I just sharpened up my eyes. Knowing this could be a trap, but I was fueling off the pride. Thinking about the layout and the places they could hide. Let's end this. I hit the switch and then I ran into...